Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Kershaw's 1-0 to Rendon, swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Taylor going back, warning track, at the wall, he leaps, it is gone, goodbye! Bang, zoom goes Rendon on the second pitch from Clayton Kershaw. And this is now a one-run game here in the top of the eighth inning. Rendon with his first home run of the series and the postseason. He drives in his fifth run of this series. And it's now the Dodgers 3 and the Nationals 2 with nobody out here at the top of the eighth inning. Here's the pitch. He swings and belts one to deep right center field. Way back! Going! Going! And gone! Goodbye! Halfway up the pavilion. A tremendous game. Tying home run by Juan Soto.
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it? Swinging a fly ball, shallow center. Racing on is Taylor, closing on it, dives. And he caught it! A diving catch ends the series! What a play by Michael Taylor! A diving catch, and the Nationals, for the first time in their history, will play in the National League Championship Series. They're celebrating on the pitcher's mound, jumping up and down. Michael Taylor getting surrounded near second base with a diving catch to close out the Dodgers. Final score, the Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. The Nationals win the series 3-2. And it's on to St. Louis to play for the National League Championship.
I mean, if the blame falls on me, I've got no problem with it. You know, I feel that, you know, my job is to put guys in the best position to have success. And if it doesn't work out, there's always going to be second guessing. And I got no problem, you know, wearing the brunt of that. That's okay.
Low moment for a lot of guys in that Dodgers clubhouse. Dave Roberts, Clayton Kershaw first and foremost. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, final hour on a Thursday here on 97.3 The Fan, and we are joined in studio by our postseason analyst, Brett Boone, is with us. Woods, you
what
missed out.
What the hell just happened?
On,
are we in the shower?
On Brett Boone
we're showering
week.
With Brett Boone. It's locker room talk, literally.
Well, Paul's going to figure it out. There we go. Oh, wrong
there
microphone.
We go.
All right, switch it. But that microphone was the better one last week. Now this one's the better one this week?
This is working.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Working.
Right, we're
sounds
rolling
a lot
now.
Better. Okay,
right.
Yeah. The mystery mic. The mystery mic. You don't often see someone's low moment professionally play out live as it did last night for Clayton Kershaw, right? I mean, that's for a pitcher, for a future Hall of Famer, it doesn't get any lower than taking a 2-run lead and giving up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches to blow an appearance in the National League Championship Series for your team. That was rough to watch, even if you're a Dodger hater, if you're a Padres fan. That's still painful to see something like that happen to a guy who, by all accounts, is a good guy in Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really, really good guy, good dad, good husband, the whole thing, and makes a lot of money and has a lot of money and will continue to have a lot of money. He was wearing that last night as hard as I've ever seen anybody wear it. And, you know, we're joined by Brett Boone here in studio. When you watched that game last night, do you feel for that? Do you feel for a guy like that when that happens to him?
I do. You know, on that big of a stage, that big of a moment, I don't know that I've had one like that. Of course I feel for him, you know. I think Clayton is a good guy. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
I look at it differently than you see the fans' reaction is they hate his guts.
Oh, yeah, they wanted him to retire.
That's crazy. That's what we signed up for.
I've had a lot of people hate my guts.
Dodger fans were driving over his jersey in the parking lot.
I mean, that's a little extreme, but that's what fans do, and fans have the right to do it.
Sure.
You know, our lives are made by fans, so they can do whatever they want. You know, when you get into this game, and this is what you do for a living, there's so many positive things and perks that come with the job. And that's the downside.
Absolutely.
You got to be a big boy. And that's the way it is. And, of course, as a human being, as a peer of mine, I fell for him last night.
Sure.
On the other side, what I felt for the other team was like, how awesome is that?
Incredible.
How big is that right there, you know? I felt Howie Kendrick. And I love Howie Kendrick. He's one of my favorites. This dude can hit.
No doubt.
And him, you know, he's fumbling the ball around the field, making errors this series, and he comes up with that big of a hit.
Unreal.
So my, you know, I see Kershaw, yeah, the human side of me feels for that. Nobody wants to see somebody going through that. The other side, it's like, what a moment for the other team. So we're big boys. You know, you're a Major League Baseball player. Kersh, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll get over this. His career's been unbelievable. What he does, you know, he still has some time left, but... You talk about the worst moment. I thought the first inning in the Braves game was a rough one. If we're talking about worst moments.
Okay, so Woodsy's got a good question on this.
So yeah, we're debating that all morning. I mean, so you've been in the show a long time, had a really, really good career. What's worse? The Dodgers ending last night, if you're a Dodgers player, is that worse for you than being a Braves player? Looking up the scoreboard after 20 minutes and going, all right, well, it's 10-0.
We're done. And we got to face Flaherty.
Who's
the hottest guy in the second half,
right,
in the game.
We're done.
But you have time to adjust, like, okay, I guess it's not happening for us. To have it ripped away at the last second, like the Dodgers had.
I mean, as a fan,
you want to be competitive, though.
That's what makes sports great. Moments like that, taking it away at the last minute.
You would rather have been a Dodgers player last night than a Braves player.
I'd rather be a Nationals player, and I'd rather be a Cardinal.
Easy
right
answer
now.
Alert.
I'd rather be a Cardinal.
You would have been hitting two-hole yesterday when everything that Fulton Evich throws is just finding barrels. He found every barrel and holes.
It was one of the most bizarre innings I've ever seen.
Wild.
Because on top of that, you know, there's a double play that's normally turned easily.
Yep, it's by not, Freddie.
The most bizarre thing for me when it's 9-0, that ball goes off McCann's glove and then he falls.
Yeah, he fell down.
And not only did he not get the out at first, but it just trickled by the first baseman and another run scored.
Yeah, another run scored.
And I'm just kind of when you're thinking, that's Twilight Zone stuff.
Yeah, this isn't our day. It's not our day.
That was rough. Because
and then McCann announces his retirement. That's a tough final game to play.
It is. And Brian's, you know, I had a feeling that something like that was. Brian, what a great career
great
he's
career.
Had.
Yep.
And he decided to do it all in 1 hour.
it's really something.
That was fun. There's not too many things that get me excited. We were talking about it before we came on air, but that was cool. Last night was, I actually really enjoyed. Because it's tough for me to really get into a baseball game. I love the game. I always will. But last night was fun just watching that and just thinking, wow, this is what I miss. These moments. Because I've been in those moments. I've been on both sides of those moments. And I know how gratifying they are. And I know how sometimes you just got to find a way to pick it up and put on your big boy pants and move on in life. But pretty cool. As bad as I felt for Clayton, I felt that good for
Howie.
So
Howie and for Rendon and for Soto. Yeah, I mean, stud. What an unbelievable for that whole Nationals team.
We talked about this with Brett Boone last week while you were gone. He's got family connections in the playoffs, and now one step closer to a potential Boone v. Boone World Series matchup. Aaron, of course, managing the Yankees. They're into the ALCS. Your dad, Bob, is the vice president for the Nationals, so they're celebrating and going to the National League Championship Series. You told us last week who you're cheering for. Who do you think, Woodsy, he's pulling for in the dad versus brother matchup?
It's got to be Aaron, obviously. Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees, got to be Aaron.
Nope.
Well, no.
They're not pulling against
hey,
him.
Aaron, right? Come on!
You Aaron, told me you're kind of leaning toward dad on this one.
Oh, man, it's Pops. He's 72. Aaron's 46.
Pops has no rings?
Dad does.
Okay.
1980 World Series.
And Aaron does not?
You know, we joke about it, and who? No, Aaron does.
Aaron does. Okay, no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
No.
No, he does not.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
He had the biggest hit of my lifetime.
Gramps has a ring. Dad has a ring. Brett's got a Connie Mack World Series ring. I also have a second place World Series ring for 99. But no real ring, Aaron, no ring. So, no, we joke about who I'm pulling for. It's like, I'm so happy for both of them. Yeah. I know, Dad, you're not going to see Dad. He's not on the field with a uniform. But I know what's going on inside him right now. He's so excited. So that's more of a...
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
there's no question about it.
I know what
it.
He's I mean, feeling right now.
Yeah.
So I'm so pumped for him. I'm pumped for Aaron.
Your brother, second year as
a manager.
Amazingly.
And you're in this position again with the unbelievable year they've gone through. And we could joke about who I'm pulling for. I'm just hoping they both get there and then I'll have that problem.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn to Mom and she'll tell me who to cheer for.
It's exactly right. It's a really good problem to
have.
That's
how Dad's treating her that week.
Fair enough. The job your brother has done, and I don't know how often you guys chatted throughout the season, but I've actually never seen it. I've never seen a team more ravaged by injury than that team, and really some other weird stories. The Domingo Germán story that came out a couple of weeks ago, to lose a guy like that to, unfortunately, domestic violence, just terrible. But they have managed to be very resilient, and certainly it falls on the players, but a lot of it falls on your brother and his leadership. What has he said to you about the year that he's gone through?
No, Aaron and myself, we have an interesting relationship. We're very close,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we talk surface stuff. We talk obvious things. He'll occasionally have a question for me. He wants my opinion on a situation, but he's pretty close to the vest when it comes to everything. And Dad and myself, we kind of give him his space there. And we were talking about it last week. The fact that Aaron's my brother and whatever, you know, I'm able to set that aside.
Sure.
And just really analyze the Yankees this year. And it doesn't matter that Aaron's the manager, he's not. If I'm just looking at it objectively, that's one of the most unbelievable things I've seen in baseball.
Truly.
That story.
Truly.
Because, and we, you know, we don't need to go over them all, but I will. You know, it's starting with Hicks. Our center fielder's been gone most of the year. Stanton down 5 months. Judge, 2 months. Gregorius halfway through. They lost their third baseman, Andujar, for the entire season.
They lost their ace.
Voit's been down. Sanchez is in and out of the lineup.
Yep.
The best pitcher on their team didn't pitch till September.
It's crazy.
You lose Germán. It's been unbelievable. Batances is out.
Yep.
And with all that, in spite of all that, they won 103 games.
Yeah, in a really tough division.
It's just one of those special years, and I chalk it up to, you know, I've been on a couple unbelievable teams where it's something you kind of look around during the season and say, just appreciate this because it doesn't happen all the time. And I think that's what that team's going through. I think those 25 guys in that clubhouse kind of have that rapport, and they look at each other, and it doesn't matter who's in the lineup because there's been so many different lineups. It's they have that inner feeling that it doesn't matter who's in that lineup, we're going to win tonight. And it goes from Aaron setting the tone to those the credit at the end of the day goes to the players.
Sure.
They get it done.
Yeah.
But Aaron set a great tone. He's got a great coaching staff, and I got to give a lot of credit to Cashman and the people that – the pieces he's given Aaron to plug in that lineup. It's been top to bottom remarkable, remarkable.
Brett, we're going to need you to take a side on our Dave Roberts debate. So we're going to do that when we come back. Whether or not losing in the division series with a team like the Dodgers is worthy of losing your job over that. We've been talking about that this morning. Some people think he should go. Others think he should stay. We'll get Brett Boone's opinion coming up, our playoff analyst in studio. That is coming up next on Ben and Woods, right now on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get a check of traffic with Suda Vincent. There are now 8 managerial vacancies in Major League Baseball. Gabe Kapler fired by the Philadelphia Phillies this morning. And Woodsy, I read that tweet from Bob Nightingale a little while ago that said Joe Maddon's first choice was the Angels, followed by the Dodgers. He sent another tweet that says Joe Maddon's first choice remains the Angels, followed by the Padres. But money talks, and the Phillies are certainly the closest to being a championship team. I don't know. It sounds like Joe Maddon is in the catbird seat when it comes to picking the job that he wants this offseason.
In the what?
Catbird seat.
I've actually heard that
okay,
one, Paul.
Finally,
I'm going to give that. Yeah, I'm going to give that.
Someone understands one of my expressions.
I think that Joe Maddon is probably better suited on the West Coast, but that's just from the narrative that's been fed to me for most of my life about Joe Maddon. But the opportunity to be in Philly, they've got some really good players.
You can win in Chicago. You can win in Philly.
Sure.
I have no doubt.
Yeah,
about
Midwest
that.
A little different than the East Coast, but. You know, what he did in Chicago has given him a lifetime pass.
So we've got Brett Boone in studio, our playoff analyst here on Ben and Woods. So the question is, 8 managerial vacancies, Brett. Is there going to be 9 here sometime in the next 24 hours or so? Will the Dodgers fire Dave Roberts after coming up short in the division series? Should the Dodgers fire Dave Roberts after 2 World Series appearances but no rings in 3 years as manager?
Man, this is a cold game, isn't it?
It is.
24 hours ago, nobody thought about firing Dave Roberts. I'm just hearing about it for the first time.
Yeah.
You guys are filling me in.
Yeah.
You know, that is such a internal decision.
Yeah.
Because we can sit here, we can watch the Dodgers, and we can be fans of the Dodgers and follow their every move, but we don't know the inner workings and what's really going on behind the scenes, the relationship, the players. That all comes into play, and I think the only people that can make that decision are the people that are in-house and seeing that on a daily basis. And, you know, they're getting, whether you like it or not, they're getting feedback from players. So that's something we could speculate all we want. I think
would
that
it
has
would
the
it
last
shock
night
you?
Has nothing to do with Dave Roberts.
Would it shock you if they did?
Of course not. I've
okay.
seen people in sports, you're hired to get fired.
Yep.
You know, I've seen a lot of people and a lot of buddies and a lot of great men and a lot of great managers get fired, and they didn't necessarily deserve it. But at the end of the day, it's, and I keep saying end of the day, sorry.
That's fine. We all do it. Ben has his.
Yeah, like
you
list
yourself. I have like 7 of those. Shoehorn has been the one today.
Yeah, Shoehorn.
Shoehorn.
Shoehorn. And it's like, you're the manager. We can't fire, and it's a cliche, too. You can't fire the players.
Yeah, you're not going to get rid
but
of Cody Bellinger.
At some point, and Dodger management will, they'll decide ultimately, is do we need a change?
Yep.
Do we need something that fundamentally changes the environment and we want to go in a different direction? The greatest of the great. You know, you're talking about Maddon this morning, and everybody wants him. Well, the Cubs didn't want him.
Yeah, exactly. For a reason. There's got to be a reason why the Cubs didn't
want. And the Giants weren't exactly, you know, falling over the spells to keep Bruce Bochy from retiring
right.
this past season.
Right, and Bochy is one of the most unbelievable guys, manager I played for. It's just sometimes your tenure, and I can put it to something I went through. You know, my time in Seattle was unbelievable. That was my favorite place. That was my city. Played for some great teams, great organization, unbelievable city. And in 2005, I'm sitting there. And I kind of just knew that my time here is over.
Yeah.
And it's time for me to move on, and they want me to move on. It's not because they hate me. We had some great times, but there's a time and a place for everything. And like a Maddon, he's still a great manager, but it's time to move on from that particular job.
My point, though, is this decision does not get made in a vacuum. We talk about it on the radio. Fans talk about it as if it's an either-or. You fire him or you don't. But the big question for me is, okay, is there someone out there that you think is better? Because there's only a limited number of guys that are managerial candidates. And unless you're pretty sure that there is a guy out there that is going to be better than Dave Roberts and you can hire him, I don't think you can get rid of a guy who took your team to 2 World Series. And yeah, he lost a close one yesterday, but certainly no one thinks that the Dodgers won't be World Series caliber next year. They will. You better be pretty confident that the next guy coming in is going to take you to that next step if you're going to get rid of Dave Roberts.
Well, I think, you know, and I'm going to back Dave Roberts on this. I'm going to say it once again. What happened last night is not Dave Roberts' fault by any means. It's up to them whether they want to create a new environment, a new feeling in that clubhouse, and that only the Dodgers powers that be can make that decision. But I kind of disagree with you. I think there's a lot of people that would love to be the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers that are very capable of doing it. But is that the right choice? I don't know. I want to take the side of Roberts and say, no, I think you should stay. I think he's doing a great
feeling,
job.
Though, Woods? I mean, for the days, the months, the years, where you're playing in the regular season, spring training. I mean, Dave Roberts is clearly doing a good job 99% of the time. But when it comes down to game five in the final decision for who's coming in from the bullpen, do you change everything because you want someone else making that call? Because up until, yesterday in the eighth inning, no one had a problem with what Dave Roberts had done this season.
I think Dodger fans did the last 2 years after losing the World Series. I mean, you're right. Fans can be goofy. They can be weird. They can be knee-jerk. It's part of being a fan. I mean, and as a Yankee fan growing up, I've been a knee-jerk a time or two in my life, maybe even about Brett's brother a time or two. It happens, right? I mean, that's what fans do. But
they make this game.
That's exactly right. They make the game. And I just... When you play, did you ever play for a manager that did things where you're like, oh, God, he's going to that guy again out of the pen? Did you ever second guess your manager? Or is it something you could remember going, man, this guy just does not know how to run a bullpen, or I can't believe he's putting this guy in the seven hole or whatever?
Well, I think, when I was playing, no, I didn't pay that much attention. Once in a while, you'd raise your eyebrow like, what's he doing there?
Yeah, why are we doing this?
but I don't remember going home too many nights as a player going, man, that manager really screwed us.
He blew it.
No, it's usually our fault.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't think managing is rocket science. It's managing personalities.
It actually is rocket science these days, if you've seen all the numbers that they give them to use.
A lot of things is right there in a computer.
Yeah.
You get the lefty up and you get the righty up. Here's the matchup we want. You've got a great staff that's done all the research.
Yep.
You've got all the data you want. And there is a... I think the great managers have that gut instinct. You got to have that gut that makes a decision at crunch time that is the right decision. You can't just rely on analytics, on data. I think they're important. I think it's great. I'd love to be a player right now. I love the technology
out there, and I would
be scooping it all in.
Absolutely.
But at certain points and certain stages of series or defining moments, a lot of times you got to go with your gut.
And that gut, I think, failed Dave Roberts last night. That gut of trying to give Clayton Kershaw a bigger postseason moment in the later innings of a game, which, again, the numbers bear out that he's not great. I mean, it's there. It's just there. You can see it. After the sixth inning, his ERA is in the 12s. And to give him more than one batter, which he got out, by the way, Adam Eaton, he got him out on three pitches. To give him more than that tells me Dave Roberts' gut was wrong last night. And when you look at the last three postseasons that have ended in, let's call it what it is, failure. You didn't get the job done. It would be hard. I would totally understand if they canned him.
We can come back to this. We've got one of the most recognizable voices in baseball joining us
this
next.
Is great,
John
man.
Sterling, radio play-by-play voice of the New York Yankees, going to check in ahead of the American League Championship Series. Don't know who they're going to face yet. They'll find out later today. That is coming up next. Ben and Woods with Brett Boone. Final hour of the day here on 97.3 The Fan. .97 The Fan invites you to Halloween as the San Diego Animal Support Foundation and Grossmont Center bring together dozens of rescue groups and shelters featuring hundreds of adoptable dogs and even some cats for a mega adoption event inside the mall coming up Saturday, October 12th, beginning at 11 a.m. For more info, just log on to 97.3thefansd.com under our events page. We got Brett Boone in studio. We're about to be joined by John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees. First, let's get one more check of traffic this morning on 97.3 The Fan from Suda Vincent. Ben Woods brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Brett Boone and I have been talking a little golf during the breaks as well.
Brett. He can't help himself.
He loves golf, too.
I love it.
All right, joining us right now, I guess you'd call him a new colleague because he's got a new radio.com podcast called Pinstripes and Bright Lights. He is one of the most recognizable voices in all of baseball. Long time announcer for the New York Yankees. John Sterling with us here. John, you got Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods, and Brett Boone joining us right now in studio as well. Good morning to you. Booney is here.
Well, good morning to all of you. And Booney, your little brother has done some job.
Little guy's
not over yet.
Little guy's doing good, isn't he?
The little guy.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm proud of him.
Yes, he
proud
is.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, John, but what would be a signature call for a Brett Boone home run? I guess it would be similar to an Aaron Boone home run.
Yeah, I guess I would say it's a Boone Town. Boom. I think that's I would start with that.
That's fantastic. So, John, obviously you've been in the game there a very, very long time. And, you know, much was made about your, what, four games that you've missed in your career. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How is everything going for you personally?
Well, I really was amazed at all the publicity for missing four games.
Yeah.
After 38 years. You know, this began in 81 with the Hawks, my first basketball game for the Atlanta Hawks, and I hadn't missed one until the All-Star break. My program director's been after me to take some time off so I wouldn't get sick and miss a lot of time. And I was run down. The London trip didn't help.
At all.
You know, two flights in 3 days. Anyway, I didn't care about the streak. I never thought about the streak. No one's ever going to approach the streak, and if they do, I'll be dead. So I don't think it really matters. But anyway, I'm fine. I mean, I took 4 days off before the All-Star break, and then I had the All-Star break of 4 days, so I had like 8 days off. So anyway, I was a little run down, but I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
So the Yankees standing by, waiting for their opponent in the American League Championship Series. The political answer is always, we don't care who wins. We're just going to go play our best. But you got to kind of be secretly pulling for the Tampa Bay Rays, right, to avoid the Houston Astros in the series. Right, John?
Well, I'm not batting, so it really doesn't matter to me. But I would be rooting for Tampa because the Yankees would open at home, and we wouldn't have to fly away right away. And am I tired of packing and unpacking? And so that would be better. Also, we have spring training in Tampa, so that's a city that I actually know. And when we go there, a lot of us get cars, stay at another place, or you know, motor around. So for those two reasons, I'd like to see Tampa. It'd be a phenomenal upset, but we saw a phenomenal upset last night. So obviously in baseball, one game proves nothing. Anyone can win one game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as a Yankee fan as well, I would much rather face Tampa, even though they're a really good team and they grind it out. But the Astros are, they're special. They do things the right way. We are talking to the legendary, the great John Sterling, voice of the Yankees, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And John, when you look back over your very storied career, I know there's got to be thousands and thousands of moments that you've gotten to be a part of. For you, when you look back, when you're finally done and you kind of look back at your entire career, what was the one, what would be, and maybe it hasn't happened yet, but so far, what was the one moment you look back and say, that was magical, that was special?
Oh, there's no question. It was the 96 season. They hired Joe Torre, who was a friend of mine from my Atlanta days, and they kind of just kept pitching little holes and patching little holes through the season, stayed in first place all the way. And then the three games they won in a row in Atlanta, they were down 2-0 in the series. Yep. And they played three in Atlanta and won all three. And they were so exciting. And then they came home, you know, on Friday, on the day off, Frank Torre got his new heart. And on Saturday, the Yankees won the World Series at the stadium. So I think right now that's the magic year. 98 was phenomenal because they did nothing but win, but I think 96 was kind of the magical year that I'll remember.
Yeah, 98 was a little tougher from our perspective here in San Diego, John.
Oh, that's right.
Run into a juggernaut like that. The Padres, you know, only make two World Series in franchise history. They go up against the 84 Tigers and the 1998 New York Yankees. Thanks a lot for playing, everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens. You can't choose it. You can't choose your opponent. And also, I think, you know, when you're like tonight, you know Houston is favorite, overwhelming favorite. But I don't know how anyone could be surprised if Tampa wins. First of all, they have a really good pitching staff. So if they hold you down, you know, it's one big hit, one big home run, one bloop that falls in. You can't – this is one of my lines that people get me on all the time. You can't predict baseball, and you can't. So, you know, we shall see.
John, Brett Boone has been kind enough to share some of his insight on his brother. Let's just kind of ask you your impressions on your interactions with Aaron, how he's done. I mean, certainly – the job that this year has been pretty incredible considering all the injuries. But I know as a broadcaster, you know, you develop a different kind of relationship sometimes with a manager.
Well, I'm certainly not saying this because Brett Boone is in your studio. But Aaron's done just a phenomenal job. You can't just slough off the injuries. It isn't just the amount of injuries, but the injuries to the names, the biggest people on the team. And then Brian Cashman's had a hell of a year bringing in all these different people who have excelled. They haven't even played well. They've excelled. And, you know, New York is a different animal. Aaron Boone has to meet the scrum, the press, twice a day, you know, before the game and after the game. And he's, you know, manager this day is not like the old autocratic Leo DeRocher's, Casey Stengel's, et cetera. Nowadays, you have to play, you know, footsie with the computer people upstairs. And so all in all, it's a very tough job. And you do it day by day. Baseball's day by day by day. And he did a terrific job last year. Won 100 games. Yep. Knocked out by a better team, the Red Sox. And this year, he's won 103 games, I think. And he has to do a whole lot. And he does it. He protects his players. He works with the media. He works with the computer geeks, and it's a lot. And
that away, Johnny.
Speaking Booney's language.
Speaking my language.
Well, don't forget, Booney, you know, his grandfather is Ray Boone,
oh, yeah,
who played in the American League. Well, I know you guys know it.
San Diego.
His dad is Bob Boone. His big brother is Brett Boone. Do you think they know the baseball? But still, he's got to work. He's got to work with, you know, that's a new thing in baseball, the analytic or metrics people. I don't think a lot of it myself, but you have to work with it or you don't get the job as manager. So, and then the fact that there's so much media in New York and he has to meet with them twice a day and he has to take care of his players, and which he does a great job of. So you put it all together, that's a heck of a job.
Yeah, the scrum here in San Diego is sometimes like me and two other writers, and that's about it.
Right.
It's not the same. So, John, speaking
of... I worked for years in Atlanta, both with the Hawks and Braves. And, you know, their scrum was, you know, the guy from the Constitution and a guy from the Atlanta Journal, and about that's it, you know. So different in New York, as I say, this is a different animal.
Well, and New York, I'd imagine, is kind of a main character in your new podcast, and we want to make sure people know all about this radio.com app, which we are telling you about all the time. Pinstripes and Bright Lights. Tell us what people are going to find when they check out the podcast, John.
Well, I did this. A couple of guys came up with the idea, and I thought, gee, it's a good idea. And what I did was I just told long baseball stories, and I think they're pretty good, and I think if people listen to them, I hope they'll think they're pretty good. I can give you some names. One was on Joe DiMaggio. One was on Ted Williams. One was on Willie Mays. One was on Bob Turley, winning and pitching in the last three games. Very different those days in the 58 World Series. And frankly, I can't remember all the others, but I told a lot of them. And, you know, if you listen to it, I think you get a kick out of it. But I think you learn something about some of these stories. Ted Williams on the final day of 41, when he decided to play, he could have sat out and hit 400. And he played a doubleheader, went 6-for-8.
Amazing.
And what the Philly catcher said to him as the game began. And DiMaggio missed the first 65 games in 49. And all of a sudden he stepped out of bed and his heel didn't hurt. And you know, he called the Yankees and said, I need some batting practice pitchers and some guys to shag. And I'm going to go to the stadium and hit. I mean, this is Joe DiMaggio. And everything went well. And he flew up to Boston the next day for this crucial three-game weekend series in Fenway. And he was obviously fabulous. The Yanks won all three games. So anyway, they'll get a kick out of the stories.
And you don't have to worry about a double play interrupting the middle of your story and ending the inning.
That's true. I'm not very good at that. You know, I've been told don't start stories with two outs. And Susan and I make a gag out of it. We always start stories, and we'll say, "Well, we'll tell you in the top of the third." You know,
that's a good tease.
We'll finish it.
Take you through the break.
Good tease is right.
Well, John, really appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing some of those stories. I know my co-host, the Yankees fan, is definitely Pinstripes and Bright Lights.
You can find it on
radio.com and the radio.com app. Good luck to you and the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. We really appreciate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure. And for both you guys who do such a good show, and to the El Uni, I hope we run into each other soon. So,
all right, Johnny.
Thank you very
much. Good luck to you guys.
Appreciate it.
Elder Booney, how old are you now?
Oof. Looks like he can still swing it,
yeah.
At least with the San Diego Athletics, and I'll be making that pitch after.
Do you know this about my guy?
He's heard. He knows.
I've heard things.
Serious adult league baseball.
No, it's just called baseball. It's just baseball.
I can do anything for a fee.
Done. Wouldn't be my first time.
He's gotten a couple of you've gotten a couple of big leaguers to show up. I know Keith Bell
played.
Came out a little bit.
Quentin Berry played with us. Still can run like the wind. Heath still shove a little bit, so yeah, it's fun. Come swing it a little bit. I could use second baseman. Yeah, no, all right.
Well, I think that's my way.
Professionals don't play for free.
That's my way of pretending to think about it.
Professionals don't play for free. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Always be closing.
It's like you.
Right?
It's ABC. Like our totally non-mandatory podcast.
Yes,
that we love
we
doing.
Have, never
the
have
show
to
today.
Do. I love to do it
because radio. You know, you don't think radio announcers should do things for free on the radio.
Mm.
Professional baseball players like to get paid for
fine.
Baseball.
It's fine.
I understand that.
I get
completely.
It. Just for the love of the game, maybe. No,
right. No,
that's
that,
fine.
That left a while ago.
That's fine.
All right, so let's try to assign managers to some of these open slots here in our last few minutes.
Let's do it.
And we'll save the Padres here. All right, so we have the Angels.
Joe Madden?
Yes.
Mooney? Yeah. I mean, that's still the obvious
makes
choice.
It makes the most sense.
Even
yeah.
with the Phillies job now open.
The history is...
Kansas City Royals.
Oh, that's a...
Mike Matheny.
That's what you've been saying for a while. I know his name keeps...
Matheny
up.
Makes sense. Raul Ibanez. I'll just say
ooh,
it,
yeah.
just for argument's sake.
Interesting.
San Francisco Giants. All of a sudden, Gabe Kapler seems to be thrown into the mix. Hearing
you know
Mark Kotze, hearing their bench coaches are getting a look.
I like Kotze getting a look. You know, he's well thought of in the Oakland organization. You know, it's Northern California. Yeah, Kotze makes sense in Boach is a big Kotze fan. He might have some input there. San Fran makes a little bit of sense for Kotze. I saw I got an interview the other day. So
Pittsburgh Pirates, if we care at all here in San Diego about who's managing the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I don't know. It's interesting for me where Showalter's, you know, he's getting a lot of talk about a lot of different teams. He seems like an East Coast guy to me for some reason. So
yeah, I mean,
who knows where, you know, Buck's going to land somewhere.
Philly, I feel like
Philly
could be a good spot for
yeah.
him. I think he'd do well. I mean, mm-hmm. Buck's always done a pretty good job wherever he's been. I mean,
and I think too, there's still postseason going on.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of candidates are going to come from the guys still from the staff still
absolutely.
Still in the postseason.
Yeah, the
so,
Joe Espadas of the
so
world.
So I think you're not going to hear. You know, all these aren't going to get filled for a while now.
There's a guy your brother works with. Josh Bard is a name.
Josh
that,
Bard,
that
yeah.
I, and I know him and Aaron are really close. I know he's really well thought of in New York as the bench coach. And
funny how, you know, it seems that, you know, through years and years, it's when you're on successful teams and successful franchises.
They want you.
They want you.
They pluck you.
So,
yeah, they
so
they
you
got to
wait
you.
For this, you know, this World Series to play out.
It's probably the smart
and I
move.
I think you're going to hear a lot more names.
Speaking of New York, the New York Mets.
Joe Girardi.
I mean, it seems like they're talking about it like it's
Joe
a done
G.
deal.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Joe
already
G makes
with
sense.
The Mets,
makes
but
sense.
Hasn't been announced yet. Today's opening, the Philadelphia Phillies.
Buck.
You think Buck now is the leading candidate in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I'd say that's
And that
sense.
Leaves us with two teams, Chicago Cubs.
I keep hearing David Ross is going to be the guy there, which I don't know. I know he's
hometown
a hometown
loves.
Guy. They love him. Oh, my
but
God.
But wasn't the point of bringing in Mark Loretta was kind of groom him for that job?
Yeah. Forgot about Loretta. He's the bench coach this year, right?
He was the bench
so
coach.
So he's
got
to be
Madden.
In the mix. I don't know.
Will Venable got an interview?
I don't want to pretend like I have this insider info.
We're all guessing. See, we're throwing stuff at the wall.
Let me give you a little advice. I could wait until at the end of the show, but I'm just going to do it right now. Just say it with confidence.
Oh, yeah.
No one checks anything
really, nobody checks in
this business. All you have to do is say it confidently.
So we're just strictly in the neighborhood of make-believe.
Yes.
I love
yes,
it. 100%. Welcome to Sports Talk Radio.
Just draw that confidence, that swagger that you need to go up and, you know, face a guy like Pedro Martinez and even, like, not have your knees buckle, and bring that to the radio and just make it sound like you know what you're talking about, and you are going to be gold in this.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Right?
Absolutely.
None of this honesty, like, hey, we don't really all know. We don't know what we're talking about. Of course we don't know what we're talking about.
We're guessing.
It's all guesswork here on the radio. So
you got to fill 4 hours, man. You pull a lot of stuff out of the old rear end. Trust me.
Occasionally we get lucky and we're right.
If you are right, it feels good to come in and be like, "See, I said Joe Mack."
If you are right, never let anyone hear the end of it.
Right,
you make sure you remind them at least twice a day about how right you were, and you know radio now. That's the answer. All right, and then the San Diego Padres.
It's the one I have the least amount of idea what they're going to do.
I think there's a lot of guys locally. Kotz is probably in that. In that discussion,
haven't heard his name directly mentioned with the Padres, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they
Loretta makes sense. He was a special assistant to the Padres.
That would be good. Better,
but they want experience too. We keep hearing, but then they bring up a name like Jace Tingler, who we hadn't even heard of from the Rangers organization, and no experience
Once again,
whatsoever.
This is going to come down to management and what their goal is, what they want. Do they want that high analytical guy that buys in hook, line, and sinker to that program? Do they want to give a guy a little leeway? That's gonna shape.
I don't think Ron
Fellinger,
he wants to win.
We can't have any more leeway. Like, there's no more like getting your feet wet in San Diego anymore. You can't.
I'm talking about it's the foresight of, okay, do we want this guy that's his own man, comes in here, runs the show, does everything? Do we want a guy that strictly sticks to the analytics, sticks to the
plan,
to the data?
Yeah.
Do we want that guy or the other guy? And that's going to form the list of who they interview.
Yep.
And I think that's organization to organization.
I think Mark Loretta is a strong choice. I think Dave Roberts is a strong choice if he doesn't survive the day in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I know for a fact that we're going to end up with Jace Tingler. Book it.
Hey, we know the name is out there. Brad Ausmus interviewed yesterday.
Yep, he did. Just book Tingler, though.
All right,
get your parodies ready.
That hour went incredibly. In fact, the whole 4 hours.
It really did.
Really
fast. Flew by, man.
Brett, we will, I assume, check in with you again next week.
Yes.
It will be in the thick of the championship series in the American National League. But as always, appreciate you coming on in studio with us.
You got it.
Great
Thanks,
stuff,
guys.
Thank
All right,
you.
We will be back Friday edition of Ben and Woods tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Great job by our assistant producer, The Hammer, out there. Executive producer, Paul Reindel. For Woodsy, I'm Ben. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. Do not go anywhere. We are the home of the Padres, off-season, regular season, all the time, right here on 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.